about Judah and Jerusalem. In the future, the mountain with the Lord's temple will be the highest of all. It will reach above the hills. Every nation will rush to it. Many people will come and say, "Let's go to the mountain of the Lord God of Jacob and worship in his temple." The Lord will teach us his law from Jerusalem, and we will obey him. He will settle arguments between nations. They will pound their swords and their spears into rakes and shovels. They will never make war or attack one another. People of Israel, let's live by the light of the Lord. Following sinful customs. Our Lord, you have deserted your people, Israel, because they follow customs of nations from the east. They worship Philistine gods and are close friends of foreigners. They have endless treasures of silver and gold. They have countless horses and war chariots. Everywhere in the country they worship the idols they have made. And so, all of them will be ashamed and disgraced. Don't help them. A Day of Judgment. Every one of you go hide among the rocks and in the ground, because the Lord is fearsome, marvelous, and glorious. When the Lord comes, everyone who is proud will be made humble, and the Lord alone will be honored. The Lord, all-powerful, has chosen a day when those who are proud and conceited will be put down. The tall and towering cedars of Lebanon will be destroyed. So will the oak trees of Bashan, all high mountains and hills, every strong fortress, all the sea-going ships, and every beautiful boat. When that day comes, everyone who is proud will be put down. Only the Lord will be honored. Idols will be gone for good. You had better hide in caves and holes. The Lord will be fearsome, marvelous, and glorious when he comes to terrify people on earth. On that day, everyone will throw to the rats and bats their idols of silver and gold they made to worship. The Lord will be fearsome, marvelous, and glorious when he comes to terrify people on earth. They will hide in caves and in the hills. Stop trusting the power of humans. They are all going to die. So how can they help? Judgment on Jerusalem and Judah. Chapter 3. The mighty Lord, all-powerful, is going to take away from Jerusalem and Judah everything you need, your bread and water, soldiers and heroes, judges and prophets, leaders and army officers, officials and advisers, fortune-tellers and others who tell the future. He will let children and babies become your rulers. You will each be cruel to friends and neighbors. Young people will insult their elders. No one will show respect to those who deserve it. Some of you will grab hold of a relative and say, "You still have a coat. Be our leader and rule this pile of ruins." But the answer will be, "I can't do you any good. Don't make me your leader. There's no food or clothing left in my house." Jerusalem and Judah, you rebelled against your glorious Lord. Your words and your actions made you stumble and fall. The look on your faces shows that you are sinful as Sodom, and you don't try to hide it. You are in for trouble, and you have brought it all on yourselves. The wrong kind of leaders. Tell those who obey God, "You're very fortunate. You will be rewarded for what you have done." Tell those who disobey, "You're in big trouble. What you did to others will come back to you." Though you are God's people, you are ruled and abused by women and children. You are confused by leaders who guide you down the wrong path. The Lord is ready to accuse and judge all nations. He will even judge you rulers and leaders of his own nation. You destroyed his vineyard and filled your houses by robbing the poor. The Lord All-Powerful says, you have crushed my people and rubbed in the dirt the faces of the poor. The Women of Jerusalem. The Lord says, the women of Jerusalem are proud and strut around, winking shamelessly. They wear anklets that jingle and call attention to the way they walk. But I, the Lord, will cover their heads with sores, and I will uncover their private parts. When that day comes, I will take away from those women all the fine jewelry they wear on their ankles, heads, necks, ears, arms, noses, fingers, and on their clothes. I will remove their veils, their belts, their perfume, their magic charms, their royal robes, and all their fancy dresses, hats, and purses. In place of perfume, there will be a stink. In place of belts, there will be ropes. In place of fancy hairdos, they will have bald heads. Instead of expensive clothes, they will wear sackcloth. Instead of beauty, they will have ugly scars. The fighting men of Jerusalem will be killed in battle. The city will mourn and sit in the dirt, emptied of its people. Chapter 4. When this happens, seven women will grab the same man, and each of them will say, I'll buy my own food and clothes. Just marry me and take away my disgrace. The Lord will bless his people who survive. The time is coming when the Lord will make his land fruitful and glorious again, and the people of Israel who survive will take great pride in what the land produces. Everyone who is left alive in Jerusalem will be called special, after the Lord sends a fiery judgment to clean the city and its people of their violent deeds. Then the Lord will cover the whole city and its meeting places with a thick cloud each day and with a flaming fire each night. God's own glory will be like a huge tent that covers everything. It will provide shade from the heat of the sun and a place of shelter and protection from storms and rain. A song about a vineyard. The Lord said, Chapter 5, I will sing a song about my friend's vineyard that was on the side of a fertile hill. My friend dug the ground, removed the stones, and planted the best vines. He built a watchtower and dug a pit in rocky ground for pressing the grapes. He hoped they would be sweet, but bitter grapes were all it produced. Listen, people of Jerusalem and of Judah, you be the judge of me and my vineyard. What more could I have done for my vineyard? I hoped for sweet grapes, but bitter grapes were all that grew. Now I will let you know what I am going to do. I will cut down the hedge and tear down the wall. My vineyard will be trampled and left in ruins. It will turn into a desert, neither pruned nor hoed. It will be covered with thorns and briars. I will command the clouds not to send rain. I am the Lord All-Powerful. Israel is the vineyard, and Judah is the garden I tended with care. I had hoped for honesty and for justice, but dishonesty and cries for mercy were all I found. Isaiah condemns social injustice. You are in for trouble. You take over house after house and field after field until there is no room left for anyone else in all the land. But the Lord All-Powerful has made this promise to me. Those large and beautiful homes will be left empty, with no one to take care of them. 10 acres of grapevines will produce only 6 gallons of juice, and 5 bushels of seed will produce merely a half bushel of grain. You are in for trouble. You get up early to start drinking, and you keep it up late into the night. At your drinking parties, you have the music of stringed instruments, tambourines, and flutes. But you never even think about all the Lord has done, and so his people know nothing about him. That's why many of you will be dragged off to foreign lands. Your leaders will starve to death, and everyone else will suffer from thirst. The world of the dead has opened its mouth wide and is eagerly waiting for the leaders of Jerusalem and for its noisy crowds, especially for those who take pride in that city. Its citizens have been put down, and its proud people have been brought to shame. But the Holy Lord God All-Powerful is praised because he has shown who he is by bringing justice. His people will be like sheep grazing in their own pasture, and they will take off what was left by others. You are in for trouble. The lies you tell are like ropes by which you drag along sin and evil. And you say, "Let the Holy God of Israel hurry up and do what he has promised, so we can see it for ourselves." You are headed for trouble. You say wrong is right, darkness is light, and bitter is sweet. You think you are clever and smart, and you are great at drinking and mixing drinks. But you are in for trouble. You accept bribes to let the guilty go free, and you cheat the innocent out of a fair trial. You will go up in flames like straw and hay. You have rejected the teaching of the Holy Lord God All-Powerful of Israel. Now your roots will rot, and your blossoms will turn to dust. You are the Lord's people, but you made him terribly angry, and he struck you with his mighty arm. Mountains shook, and dead bodies covered the streets like garbage. The Lord is still angry, and he is ready to strike you again. Foreign nations will attack. The Lord has signaled for the foreign nations to come and attack you. He has already whistled, and they are coming as fast as they can. None of them are tired. They don't sleep or get drowsy, and they run without stumbling. Their belts don't come loose. Their sandal straps don't break. Their arrows are sharp, and their bows are ready. The hoofs of their horses are hard as flint. The wheels of their war chariots turn as fast as a whirlwind. They roar and growl like fierce young lions as they grab their victims and drag them off where no one can rescue them. On the day they attack, they will roar like the ocean, and across the land you will see nothing but darkness and trouble, because the light of day will be covered by thick clouds. A Vision of the Lord in the Temple. Chapter 6. In the year that King Uzziah died, I had a vision of the Lord. He was on his throne high above, and his robe filled the temple. Flaming creatures with 6 wings each were flying over him. They covered their faces with 2 of their wings, and their bodies with 2 more. They used the other 2 wings for flying. As they shouted, "Holy, holy, holy, Lord all-powerful, the earth is filled with your glory." As they shouted, the doorposts of the temple shook, and the temple was filled with smoke. Then I cried out, "I'm doomed. Everything I say is sinful, and so are the words of everyone around me. Yet I have seen the King, the Lord all-powerful." One of the flaming creatures flew over to me with a burning coal that it had taken from the altar with a pair of metal tongs. It touched my lips with the hot coal and said, "This has touched your lips. Your sins are forgiven, and you are no longer guilty." After this, I heard the Lord ask, "Is there anyone I can send?" Will someone go for us? I'll go, I answered. Send me. Then the Lord told me to go and speak this message to the people. You will listen and listen, but never understand. You will look and look, but never see. The Lord also said, Make these people stubborn. Make them stop up their ears, cover their eyes, and fail to understand. Don't let them turn to me and be healed. Then I asked the Lord, How long will this last? The Lord answered, Until their towns are destroyed and their houses are deserted, until their fields are empty, and I have sent them far away, leaving their land in ruins. If only a tenth of the people are left, even they will be destroyed. But just as stumps remain after trees have been cut down, some of my chosen ones will be left. Isaiah offers hope to King Ahaz. Chapter 7 Ahaz, the son of Jotham, and the grandson of Uzziah, was king of Judah when King Rezin of Syria and King Pekah, son of Remaliah of Israel, went to attack Jerusalem. But they were not able to do what they had planned. When news reached the royal palace that Syria had joined forces with Israel, King Ahaz and everyone in Judah were so terrified that they shook like trees in a windstorm. Then the Lord said to me, Take your son, Shear Jashub, and go see King Ahaz. You will find him on the road near the clothmaker's shops at the end of the canal that brings water from the upper pool. Tell Ahaz to stop worrying. There's no need for him to be afraid of King Rezin and King Pekah. They are very angry, but they are nothing more than a dying fire. Ahaz doesn't need to fear their evil threats to invade and defeat Judah and Jerusalem, and to let the son of Tabeel be king in his place. I, the Lord, promise that this will never happen. Damascus is just the capital of Syria, and King Rezin rules only in Damascus. Samaria is just the capital of Israel, and King Pekah rules only in Samaria. But in less than 65 years, Israel will be destroyed, and if Ahaz and his officials don't trust me, they will be defeated. A son named Emmanuel. Once again the Lord God spoke to King Ahaz. This time he said, Ask me for proof that my promise will come true. Ask for something to happen deep in the world of the dead, or high in the heavens above. No, Lord, Ahaz answered, I won't test you. Then I said, Listen, every one of you in the royal family of David, you have already tried my patience. Now you are trying God's patience by refusing to ask for proof. But the Lord will still give you proof. A virgin is pregnant. She will have a son, and will name him Emmanuel. Even before the boy is old enough to know how to choose between right and wrong, he will eat yogurt and honey. And the countries of the two kings you fear will be destroyed. But the Lord will make more trouble for your people and your kingdom than any of you have known since Israel broke away from Judah. He will even bring the king of Assyria to attack you. The threat of an invasion. When that time comes, the Lord will whistle, and armies will come from Egypt like flies, and from Assyria like bees. They will settle everywhere, in the deep valleys and between the rocks, on every bush and all over the pasture land. The Lord will pay the king of Assyria to bring a razor from across the Euphrates River and shave your head and every hair on your body, including your beard. No one will have more than one young cow and two sheep, but those who do will have enough milk to make yogurt. In fact, everyone left in the land will eat yogurt and honey. Vineyards that had 1,000 vines and were worth 1,000 pieces of silver will turn into thorn patches. You will go there to hunt with your bow and arrows, because the whole country will be covered with thorn bushes. The hills where you once planted crops will be overgrown with thorns and thistles. You will be afraid to go there, and your cattle, sheep, and goats will be turned loose on those hills. A Warning and a Hope. Chapter 8. The Lord said, "Isaiah, get something to write on. Then write in big, clear letters the name Meher Shalal Hashbaz. I will have Uriah the priest and Zechariah, son of Jeberechiah, serve as witnesses to this." Sometime later, my wife and I had a son, and the Lord said, "Name him Meher Shalal Hashbaz. Because before he can say Mommy or Daddy, the king of Assyria will attack and take everything of value from Damascus and Samaria." The Lord spoke to me again and said, "These people have refused the gentle waters of Shiloah and have gladly gone over to the side of King Rezin and King Pekah. Now I will send the king of Assyria against them with his powerful army, which will attack like the mighty Euphrates River overflowing its banks. Enemy soldiers will cover Judah like a flood reaching up to your neck. But God is with us. He will spread his wings and protect our land. All of you foreign nations, go ahead and prepare for war, but you will be crushed. Get together and make plans, but you will fail, because God is with us." The Lord took hold of me with his powerful hand and said, "I'm warning you. Don't act like these people. Don't call something a rebellious plot just because they do. And don't be afraid of something just because they are. I am the one you should fear and respect. I am the Holy God, the Lord All-Powerful. Run to me for protection. I am a rock that will make both Judah and Israel stumble and break their bones. I am a trap that will catch the people of Jerusalem. They will be captured and dragged away." Isaiah and his followers. My message and my teachings are to be sealed and given to my followers. Meanwhile, I patiently trust the Lord, even though he is no longer pleased with Israel. My children and I are warning signs to Israel from the Lord All-Powerful, who lives on Mount Zion. Someone may say to you, "Go to the fortune-tellers who make soft chirping sounds, or ask the spirits of the dead. After all, a nation ought to be able to ask its own gods what it should do." None of those who talk like that will live to see the light of day. They will go around in great pain and will become so hungry that they will angrily curse their king and their gods. And when they try to find help in heaven and on earth, they will find only trouble and darkness, terrible trouble and deepest darkness. Chapter 9. But those who have suffered will no longer be in pain. The territories of Zebulun and Naphtali in Galilee were once hated, but this land of the Gentiles across the Jordan River and along the Mediterranean Sea will be greatly respected. War is over. Those who walked in the dark have seen a bright light, and it shines upon everyone who lives in the land of darkest shadows. Our Lord, you have made your nation stronger. Because of you, its people are glad and celebrate like workers at harvest time, or like soldiers dividing up what they have taken. You have broken the power of those who abused and enslaved your people. You have rescued them just as you saved your people from Midian. The boots of marching warriors and the blood-stained uniforms have been fed to flames and eaten by fire. A child has been born. A child has been born for us. We have been given a son who will be our ruler. His names will be Wonderful Advisor and Mighty God, Eternal Father and Prince of Peace. His power will never end. Peace will last forever. He will rule David's kingdom and make it grow strong. He will always rule with honesty and justice. The Lord All-Powerful will make certain that all of this is done. God will punish Israel. The Lord had warned the people of Israel, and all of them knew it, including everyone in the capital city of Samaria. But they were proud and stubborn, and said, "Houses of brick and sycamore have fallen to the ground. But we will build houses with stones and cedar." The Lord made their enemies attack them. He sent the Arameans from the east and the Philistines from the west, and they swallowed up Israel. But even this did not stop him from being angry, so he kept on punishing them. The people of Israel still did not turn back to the Lord All-Powerful and worship him. In one day he cut off their head and tail, their leaves and branches. Their rulers and leaders were the head, and the lying prophets were the tail. They had led the nation down the wrong path, and the people were confused. The Lord was angry with his people and kept punishing them because they had turned against him. They were evil and spoke foolishly. That's why he did not have pity on their young people or on their widows and orphans. Evil had spread like a raging forest fire, sending thorn bushes up in smoke. The Lord All-Powerful was angry and used the people as fuel for a fire that scorched the land. They turned against each other like wild animals, attacking and eating everyone around them, even their own relatives. But still they were not satisfied. The tribes of Ephraim and Manasseh turned against each other, then joined forces to attack Judah. But the Lord was still angry and ready to punish the nation even more. Chapter 10. You people are in for trouble. You have made cruel and unfair laws that let you cheat the poor and needy, and rob widows and orphans. But what will you do when you are fiercely attacked and punished by foreigners? Where will you run for help? Where will you hide your valuables? How will you escape being captured or killed? The Lord is still angry, and he isn't through with you yet. The Lord's purpose and the king of Assyria. The Lord says, "I am furious, and I will use the king of Assyria as a club to beat down you godless people. I am angry with you, and I will send him to attack you. He will take what he wants and walk on you like mud in the streets. He has even bigger plans in mind, because he wants to destroy many nations." The king of Assyria says, "My army commanders are kings. They have already captured the cities of Calno, Carchemish, Hamath, Arpad, Samaria, and Damascus. The gods of Jerusalem and Samaria are weaker than the gods of those powerful nations, and I will destroy Jerusalem together with its gods and idols, just as I did Samaria. The Lord will do what he has planned against Jerusalem and Mount Zion. Then he will punish the proud and boastful king of Assyria, who says, 'I did these things by my own power, because I am smart and clever. I attacked kings like a wild bull, and I took the land and the treasures of their nations. I have conquered the whole world. And it was easier than taking eggs from an unguarded nest. No one even flapped a wing or made a peep.' king of Assyria, can an axe or a saw overpower the one who uses it? Can a wooden pole lift whoever holds it? The mighty Lord, all-powerful, will send a terrible disease to strike down your army, and you will burn with fever under your royal robes. The holy God, who is the light of Israel, will turn into a fire, and in one day you will go up in flames, just like a thorn bush. The Lord will make your beautiful forests and fertile fields slowly rot. There will be so few trees that even a young child can count them. Only a few will come back. A time is coming when the survivors from Israel and Judah will completely depend on the Holy Lord of Israel instead of the nation that defeated them. There were as many people as there are grains of sand along the seashore, but only a few will survive to come back to Israel's mighty God. This is because he has threatened to destroy their nation just as they deserve. The Lord All-Powerful has promised that everyone on this earth will be punished. Now the Lord God All-Powerful says to his people in Jerusalem, "The Assyrians will beat you with sticks and abuse you, just as the Egyptians did. But don't be afraid of them. Soon I will stop being angry with you, and I will punish them for their crimes. I will beat the Assyrians with a whip, as I did the people of Midian near the rock at Oreb. And I will show the same mighty power that I used when I made a path through the sea in Egypt. Then they will no longer rule your nation. All will go well for you, and your burden will be lifted. Enemy troops have reached the town of Aiath. They have gone through Migron, and they stored their supplies at Michmash, before crossing the valley and spending the night at Geba. The people of Ramah are terrified. Everyone in Gibeah, the hometown of Saul, has run away. Loud crying can be heard in the towns of Galim, Laisha, and sorrowful Anathoth. No one is left in Madmena or Gibim. Today the enemy will camp at Nob and shake a threatening fist at Mount Zion in Jerusalem. But the Lord All-Powerful will use his fearsome might to bring down the tallest trees and chop off every branch. With an axe, the glorious Lord will destroy every tree in the forests of Lebanon. Peace at last. Chapter 11. Like a branch that sprouts from a stump, someone from David's family will someday be king. The Spirit of the Lord will be with him to give him understanding, wisdom, and insight. He will be powerful, and he will know and honor the Lord. His greatest joy will be to obey the Lord. This king won't judge by appearances or listen to rumors. The poor and the needy will be treated with fairness and with justice. His word will be law everywhere in the land, and criminals will be put to death. Honesty and fairness will be his royal robes. Leopards will lie down with young goats, and wolves will rest with lambs. Calves and lions will eat together and be cared for by little children. Cows and bears will share the same pasture. Their young will rest side by side. Lions and oxen will both eat straw. Little children will play near snake holes. They will stick their hands into dens of poisonous snakes and never be hurt. Nothing harmful will take place on the Lord's holy mountain. Just as water fills the sea, the land will be filled with people who know and honor the Lord. God's people will come back home. The time is coming when one of David's descendants will be the signal for the people of all nations to come together. They will follow his advice, and his own nation will become famous. When that day comes, the Lord will again reach out his mighty arm and bring home his people who have survived in Assyria, Egypt, Pathros, Ethiopia, Elam, Shinar, Hamath, and the land along the coast. He will give a signal to the nations, and he will bring together the refugees from Judah and Israel who have been scattered all over the earth. Israel will stop being jealous of Judah, and Judah will no longer be the enemy of Israel. Instead, they will get together and attack the Philistines in the west. Then they will defeat the Edomites, the Moabites, and the Ammonites in the east. They will rule those people and take from them whatever they want. The Lord will dry up the arm of the Red Sea near Egypt, and he will send a scorching wind to divide the Euphrates River into seven streams that anyone can step across. Then for his people who survive, there will be a good road from Assyria, just as there was a good road for their ancestors when they left Egypt. A Song of Praise. Chapter 12. At that time you will say, I thank you, Lord. You were angry with me, but you stopped being angry, and you gave me comfort. I trust you to save me, Lord God, and I won't be afraid. My power and my strength come from you, and you have saved me. With great joy, you people will get water from the well of victory. At that time you will say, Our Lord, we are thankful, and we worship only you. We will tell the nations how glorious you are, and what you have done. Because of your wonderful deeds, we will sing your praises everywhere on earth. Sing, people of Zion, celebrate the greatness of the Holy Lord of Israel. God is here to help you. Babylon will be punished. Chapter 13. This is the message that I was given about Babylon. From high on a barren hill, give a signal, shout the orders, and point the way to enter the gates of Babylon's proud rulers. The Lord has commanded his very best warriors and his proud heroes to show how angry he is. Listen to the noisy crowds on the mountains. Kingdoms and nations are joining forces. The Lord All-Powerful is bringing together an army for battle. From a distant land, the Lord is coming, fierce and furious. He brings his weapons to destroy the earth. Cry and weep. The day is coming when the mighty Lord will bring destruction. All people will be terrified. Hands will grow limp. Courage will melt away. Everyone will tremble with pain, like a woman giving birth. They will stare at each other with horror on their faces. There will be no mercy. I, the Lord, will show no mercy or pity when that time comes. In my anger I will destroy the earth and every sinner who lives on it. Light will disappear from the stars in the sky. The dawning sun will turn dark, and the moon will lose its glow. I will punish this evil world and its people because of their sins. I will crush the horrible pride of those who are cruel. Survivors will be harder to find than the purest gold. I, the Lord All-Powerful, am terribly angry. I will make the sky tremble and the earth shake loose. Everyone will run to their homelands, just as hunted deer run and sheep scatter when they have no shepherd. Those who are captured will be killed by a sword. They will see their children beaten against rocks, their homes robbed, and their wives abused. The Medes can't be bought off with silver or gold, and I'm sending them to attack Babylonia. Their arrows will slaughter the young men. No pity will be shown to babies and children. The Lord will destroy Babylon. The city of Babylon is glorious and powerful, the pride of the nation, but it will be like the cities of Sodom and Gomorrah, after I, the Lord, destroyed them. No one will live in Babylon, Even nomads won't camp nearby, and shepherds won't let their sheep rest there. Only desert creatures, hoot owls and ostriches, will live in its ruins, and goats will leap about. Hyenas and wolves will howl from Babylon's fortresses and beautiful palaces. Its time is almost up. The Lord's people will come home. Chapter 14. The Lord will have mercy on Israel and will let them be his chosen people once again. He will bring them back to their own land, and foreigners will join them as part of Israel. Other nations will lead them home, and Israel will make slaves of them in the land that belongs to the Lord. Israel will rule over those who once governed and mistreated them. Death to the King of Babylonia. The Lord will set you free from your sorrow, suffering, and slavery. Then you will make fun of the King of Babylonia by singing this song. That cruel monster is done for. He won't attack us again. The Lord has crushed the power of those evil kings who were furious and never stopped abusing the people of other nations. Now all the world is at peace. Its people are celebrating with joyful songs. King of Babylonia, even the cypress trees and the cedars of Lebanon celebrate and say, "Since you were put down, no one comes along to chop us down." The world of the dead eagerly waits for you with great excitement. The spirits of ancient rulers hear about your coming. Each one of them will say, "Now you are just as weak as any of us. Your pride and your music have ended here, in the world of the dead. Worms are your blanket, maggots are your bed. You, the bright morning star, have fallen from the sky. You brought down other nations, now you are brought down. You said to yourself, 'I'll climb to heaven and place my throne above the highest stars. I'll sit there with the gods, far away in the north. I'll be above the clouds, just like God Most High.' But now you are deep in the world of the dead. Those who see you will stare and wonder, 'Is this the man who made the world tremble and shook up kingdoms? Did he capture every city and make earth a desert? Is he the one who refused to let prisoners go home? When kings die, they are buried in glorious tombs. But you will be left unburied, just another dead body lying underfoot like a broken branch. You will be one of many killed in battle and gone down to the deep rocky pit. You won't be buried with kings. You ruined your country and murdered your people. You evil monster, we hope that your family will be forgotten forever. We will slaughter your sons to make them pay for the crimes of their ancestors. They won't take over the world or build cities anywhere on this earth. The Lord All-Powerful has promised to attack Babylonia and destroy everyone there, so that none of them will ever be remembered again. The Lord will sweep out the people, and the land will become a swamp for wild animals. Assyria will be punished. The Lord All-Powerful has made this promise. Everything I have planned will happen just as I said. I will wipe out every Assyrian in my country, and I will crush those on my mountains. I will free my people from slavery to the Assyrians. I have planned this for the whole world, and my mighty arm controls every nation. I, the Lord All-Powerful, have made these plans. No one can stop me now." The Philistines will be punished. This message came from the Lord in the year King Ahaz died. "Philistines, don't be happy just because the rod that punished you is broken. That rod will become a poisonous snake, and then a flying fiery dragon. The poor and needy will find pastures for their sheep and will live in safety, but I will starve some of you and others will be killed. Cry and weep in the gates of your towns, you Philistines. Smoke blows in from the north, and every soldier is ready. If a messenger comes from a distant nation, you must say, "The Lord built Zion. Even the poorest of his people will find safety there." Moab will be punished. Chapter 15. This is a message about Moab. The towns of Ar and Kir were destroyed in the night. Moab is left in ruins. Everyone in Dibon has gone up to the temple and the shrines to cry and weep. All of Moab is crying. Heads and beards are shaved because of what happened at Nebo and Medeba. In the towns and at home, everyone wears sackcloth and cries loud and long. From Heshbon and Elealeh, weeping is heard in Jahaz. Moab's warriors scream while trembling with fear. Pity Moab. I pity Moab. Its people are running to Zoar and to Eglath-Shelishiah. They cry on their way up to the town of Luhith. On the road to Horonaim, they tell of disasters. The streams of Nimrim and the grasslands have dried up. Every plant is parched. The people of Moab are leaving, crossing over Willow Creek, taking everything they own and have worked for. In the towns of Eglaim and of Beorelim, and everywhere else in Moab, mournful cries are heard. The streams near Dimon are flowing with blood. But the Lord will bring even worse trouble to Dimon, because all in Moab who escape will be attacked by lions. More troubles for Moab. Chapter 16. Send lambs as gifts to the ruler of the land. Send them across the desert from Selah to Mount Zion. The women of Moab crossing the Arnon River are like a flock of birds scattered from their nests. Moab's messengers say to the people of Judah, "Be kind and help us. Shade us from the heat of the noonday sun. Hide our refugees. Don't turn them away. Let our people live in your country and find safety here. Moab, your cruel enemies will disappear. They will no longer attack and destroy your land. Then a kingdom of love will be set up, and someone from David's family will rule with fairness. He will do what is right and quickly bring justice." Moab's pride is destroyed. We have heard of Moab's pride. Its people strut and boast, but without reason. Tell everyone in Moab to mourn for their nation. Tell them to cry and weep for those fancy raisins of Kir-Hareseth. Vineyards near Heshbon and Sibmah have turned brown. The rulers of nations used to get drunk on wine from those vineyards that spread to Jazer, then across the desert and beyond the sea. Now I mourn like Jazer for the vineyards of Sibmah. I shed tears for Heshbon and for Elealeh. There will be no more harvest celebrations or joyful and happy times while bringing in the crops. Singing and shouting are gone from the vineyards. There are no joyful shouts where grapes were pressed. God has silenced them all. Deep in my heart I hurt for Moab and Kir-Hiras. It's useless for Moab's people to wear themselves out by going to their altars to worship and pray. The Lord has already said all of this about Moab. Now he says, "The contract of a hired worker is good for 3 years, but Moab's glory and greatness won't last any longer than that. Only a few of its people will survive, and they will be left helpless." Damascus will be punished. Chapter 17. This is a message about Damascus. Damascus is doomed. It will end up in ruins. The villages around Aroer will be deserted. with only sheep living there and no one to bother them. Israel will lose its fortresses. The kingdom of Damascus will be destroyed. Its survivors will suffer the same fate as Israel. The Lord All-Powerful has promised this. Sin and suffering. When that time comes, the glorious nation of Israel will be brought down. Its prosperous people will be skin and bones. Israel will be like wheat fields in Rephaim Valley, picked clean of grain. It will be like an olive tree beaten with a stick, leaving two or three olives, or maybe four or five, on the highest or most fruitful branches. The Lord God of Israel has promised this. At that time, the people will turn and trust their Creator, the Holy God of Israel. They have built altars and places for burning incense to their goddess, Asherah. And they have set up sacred poles for her. But they will stop worshipping at these places. Israel captured powerful cities and chased out the people who lived there. But these cities will lie in ruins, covered over with weeds and underbrush. Israel, you have forgotten the God who saves you, the one who is the mighty rock, where you find protection. You plant the finest flowers to honor a foreign god. The plants may sprout and blossom that very same morning, but it will do you no good, because you will suffer endless agony. God defends his people. The nations are a noisy, thunderous sea. But even if they roar like a fearsome flood, God will give the command to turn them back. They will be like dust, or like a tumbleweed blowing across the hills in a windstorm. In the evening their attack is fierce, but by morning they are destroyed. This is what happens to those who raid and rob us. Ethiopia will be punished. Chapter 18. Downstream from Ethiopia lies the country of Egypt, swarming with insects. Egypt sends messengers up the Nile River on ships made of reeds. Send them fast to Ethiopia, whose people are tall and have smooth skin. Their land is divided by rivers. They are strong and brutal, feared all over the world. Everyone on this earth, listen with care. A signal will be given on the mountains, and you will hear a trumpet. The Lord said to me, I will calmly look down from my home above, as calmly as the sun at noon, or clouds in the heat of harvest season. Before the blossoms can turn into grapes, God will cut off the sprouts and hack off the branches. Ethiopians will be food for mountain buzzards during the summer, and for wild animals during the winter. Those Ethiopians are tall, and their skin is smooth. They are feared all over the world, because they are strong and brutal. But at that time they will come from their land divided by rivers, and they will bring gifts to the Lord All-Powerful, who is worshipped on Mount Zion. Egypt will be punished. Chapter 19. This is a message about Egypt. The Lord comes to Egypt, riding swiftly on a cloud. The people are weak from fear. Their idols tremble as he approaches and says, I will punish Egypt with civil war. Neighbors, cities, and kingdoms will fight each other. Egypt will be discouraged when I confuse their plans. They will try to get advice from their idols, from the spirits of the dead, and from fortune-tellers. I will put the Egyptians under the power of a cruel, heartless king. I, the Lord All-Powerful, have promised this. Trouble along the Nile. The Nile River will dry up and become parched land. Its streams will stink. Egypt will have no water, and the reeds and tall grass will dry up. Fields along the Nile will be completely barren. Every plant will disappear. Those who fish in the Nile will be discouraged and mourn. none of the clothmakers will know what to do, and they will turn pale. Weavers will be confused, paid workers will cry and mourn. Egypt's helpless leaders. The king's officials in Zoan are foolish themselves and give stupid advice. How can they say to him, "We are very wise, and our families go back to kings of long ago"? Where are those wise men now? If they can, let them say what the Lord All-Powerful intends for Egypt. The royal officials in Zoan and in Memphis are foolish and deceived. The leaders in every state have given bad advice to the nation. The Lord has confused Egypt. Its leaders have made it stagger and vomit like a drunkard. No one in Egypt can do a thing, no matter who they are. When the Lord All-Powerful punishes Egypt with his mighty arm, the Egyptians will become terribly weak and will tremble with fear. They will be so terrified of Judah that they will be frightened by the very mention of its name. This will happen because of what the Lord All-Powerful is planning against Egypt. The Lord will bless Egypt, Assyria, and Israel. The time is coming when Hebrew will be spoken in 5 Egyptian cities, and their people will become followers of the Lord. One of these cities will be called City of the Sun. In the heart of Egypt, an altar will be set up for the Lord. At its border, a shrine will be built to honor him. These will remind the Egyptians that the Lord All-Powerful is with them. And when they are in trouble and ask for help, he will send someone to rescue them from their enemies. The Lord will show the Egyptians who he is, and they will know and worship the Lord. They will bring him sacrifices and offerings, and they will keep their promises to him. After the Lord has punished Egypt, the people will turn to him. Then he will answer their prayers, and the Egyptians will be healed. At that time, a good road will run from Egypt to Assyria. The Egyptians and the Assyrians will travel back and forth from Egypt to Assyria, and they will worship together. Israel will join with these 2 countries. They will be a blessing to everyone on earth. Then the Lord All-Powerful will bless them by saying, "The Egyptians are my people. I created the Assyrians and chose the Israelites." Isaiah acts out the defeat of Egypt and Ethiopia. Chapter 20. King Sargon of Assyria gave orders for his army commander to capture the city of Ashdod. About this same time the Lord had told me, "Isaiah, take off everything, including your sandals." I did this and went around naked and barefoot for 3 years. Then the Lord said, "What Isaiah has done is a warning to Egypt and Ethiopia. Everyone in these 2 countries will be led away naked and barefoot by the king of Assyria. Young or old, they will be taken prisoner, and Egypt will be disgraced. They will be confused and frustrated because they depended on Ethiopia and bragged about Egypt. When this happens, the people who live along the coast will say, 'Look what happened to them. We ran to them for safety, hoping they would protect us from the king of Assyria. But now, there is no escape for us.'" The Fall of Babylonia. Chapter 21. This is a message about a desert beside the sea. Enemies from a hostile nation attack like a whirlwind from the southern desert. What a horrible vision was shown to me, a vision of betrayal and destruction. "Tell Elam and Media to surround and attack the Babylonians. The Lord has sworn to end the suffering they caused. I'm in terrible pain, like a woman giving birth. I'm shocked and hurt so much that I can't hear or see. My head spins. I'm horrified. Early evening, my favorite time, has become a nightmare. In Babylon, the high officials were having a feast. They were eating and drinking when someone shouted, "Officers, take your places. Grab your shields." The Lord said to me, "Send guards to find out what's going on. When they see cavalry troops and columns of soldiers on donkeys and camels, tell them to be ready." Then a guard said, "I have stood day and night on this watchtower, Lord. Now I see column after column of cavalry troops." Right away someone shouted, "Babylon has fallen. Every idol in the city lies broken on the ground." Then I said, "My people, you have suffered terribly, but I have a message for you from the Lord All-Powerful, the God of Israel." How much longer? This is a message about Duma, from the country of Seir. Someone shouts to me, "Guard, how much longer before daylight?" From my guard post, I answered, "Morning will soon be here, but night will return. If you want to know more, come back later." This is a message for Arabs who live in the barren desert, in the region of Dedan. "You must order your caravans to bring water for those who are thirsty. You, people of Tema, must bring food for the hungry refugees. They are worn out and weary from being chased by enemies with swords and arrows." The Lord said to me, "A year from now the glory of the people of Kedar will all come to an end, just as a worker's contract ends after a year. Only a few of their warriors will be left with bows and arrows. This is a promise that I, the Lord God of Israel, have made." Trouble in Vision Valley. Chapter 22. This is a message about Vision Valley. Why are you celebrating on the flat roofs of your houses? Your city is filled with noisy shouts. Those who lie drunk in your streets were not killed in battle. Your leaders ran away, but they were captured without a fight. No matter how far they ran, they were found and caught. Then I said, "Leave me alone. Let me cry bitter tears. My people have been destroyed."